Our text for this morning comes from the gospel reading, Jesus at the home of the ruler of the Pharisees. You may be seated. Dear saints, did you notice how our gospel reading begins? It's really kind of surprising. Luke tells us that one Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully. It's surprising because he was invited to the house of the Pharisees. Throughout the book of Luke, Jesus has been taking the Pharisees to task, calling out their hypocrisy. So there's no doubt that they didn't invite him out of the goodness of their hearts, out of a sense of Jewish hospitality. But as Luke tells us, they were watching him carefully. They bring the man with dropsy to Jesus to see if he will heal on the Sabbath, as he already had done back in Luke chapter 6. And of course he does. Maybe they have a bunch of questions lined up for him to try to get him to say something that goes against their law or their rules to trick him. Maybe they want to see how he will handle himself at one of their fancy dinner parties. Will he show proper reverence and humility in front of these very important people? Of course, Jesus knows all this. As he heals the man with dropsy, he tells the Pharisees that even they on the Sabbath would pick their ox or their son out of a well they had fallen in, violating their own laws that they had created. The Pharisees were notorious for misapplying God's law. It's kind of their thing. They would make up rules claiming that they were God's law, and then they themselves would find ways around them. Nothing new here. But then Jesus does something interesting. He gives kind of a commentary on the whole scene that's in front of him. As he is attending this Pharisaical dinner party, we are told that the Pharisees are watching him, but actually he's watching them. And what does he see? He sees people jockeying for position, trying to elevate themselves in the minds of others, trying to get the best seat next to the host. And so he tells the parable of the wedding feast. You get the sense that he's referring to exactly what he sees going on. So what is the point of it all? What does it mean for us? First, there is the obvious practical application of the parable. We heard this echoed in our Old Testament reading this morning. Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great, for it is better to be told, come up here, than to be put lower in the presence of a noble. That is, don't assume and claim a position of importance or honor only to be embarrassed when you're put in your place. You're told to move to a lower position when you're told, you're really not all that, when you're not given the things that go along with that position of honor, when you're not given those privileges. Better to assume a lower position and then be exalted when you are called upon to move higher. Jesus observed them at this dinner party, and they must have been doing exactly that. Maybe some were told to move lower. Perhaps others were brought higher. While they were gauging Jesus' own worthiness to be there, he completely reveals their hypocrisy. Now, I don't know that we typically have the same sort of social jockeying that we see among the Pharisees in Jesus' day. Perhaps if you're in politics, or maybe if you're trying to move yourself up the corporate ladder or something. But clearly, there is here a moral lesson in humility, a quality that the Pharisees don't seem to possess, humility, quality that we don't see a lot in our culture today, a quality and trait that often we find lacking in ourselves. For it is the natural human tendency to want to appear impressive in the eyes of others. We want other people to think well of us, to see us as important or special. And what do we do about it? often tear others down through words or actions to make ourselves appear better. We may promote our own goodness by pointing out the flaws or sins in others while ignoring them in ourselves. But our Lord calls us to humility and not pride. But even more important than this worldly moral application of Jesus' words is the spiritual dimension to them. He says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." That the Lord exalts the humble and humbles the exalted is a theme found all throughout Scripture. In fact, you could probably use it as a summary of the entire Bible. Here's just a few examples. 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18. "You save a humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down." Proverbs 29. "One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor." Matthew 18. "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The words of Mary from the Magnificat in Luke 1. "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." James 4:10. "Be humbled before the Lord, and he will exalt you." It appears that there are only two kinds of people, in a spiritual sense, only two ways to approach God. The first way is to exalt yourself, to try to find your own path to heaven, to rely on your own goodness for salvation, to think there is some quality or some trait in yourself that when God sees it, well, he just has to love me, thereby rejecting what God wants to say to you in his word. It is the course of living your life in whatever way you think is best. To exalt oneself is to reject either God's law or his plan for your salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Jesus says to die in that state of self-exaltation, those will be humbled, brought low. These will be those waiting outside the door once the master shuts it, as we heard in last week's gospel reading. The other approach is to rely on Jesus, to not trust oneself, but to be utterly dependent on God, to come to him in humble repentance, to come before the King of the universe and say, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner," to put aside your pride and your arrogance and your self-righteousness and rely completely on Jesus, rely completely on the forgiveness he wants to give you. Forgiveness won on the cross, delivered to you in baptism. The attitude, "I deserve heaven," is not humble. The attitude, "Lord, have mercy," is. To humble yourself, as Jesus bids us do, is not something that we actually muster up in ourselves. No, it is the Lord who humbles us through his Holy Spirit, through his word, we are led to repentance, as we are kept in the faith that clings solely to Jesus. Be humbled, and you will be exalted. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did? Paul writes in Philippians, "And being found in human form, Christ humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Not only is Christ our example for what true humility looks like, it's because of his humility that you are exalted. Peter says in Acts 5, "God exalted Jesus at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." You see, Christ is exalted so that you would come before him in humble repentance, receive the forgiveness of sins, that thereby you might be exalted. But when you are invited, Go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes to you, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. This is how Jesus treats us. This is how the exalted Jesus, the reigning King of the universe, treats us. He says to you, you who come to him in repentance, you who rely on God's grace, friend, move up higher. He addresses you as friend. Friend, move up to the position of my beloved child. Friend, move up to be a citizen of my kingdom. Friend, move up as an inheritor of eternal life. Friend, move up. Come, dine with me at the table. Receive my body and my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. When you breathe your last breath, Jesus says to you, friend, move up to heaven. And on the last day, he will say to you, friend, move up out of that grave. This is our status as God's people, exalted through the humility of Christ. As we heard in our epistle reading, so Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. We live as Christ's humbled people. We share in the reproach that the world heaped on him. But that frees us. It frees us to serve one another out of love. Love for him, love for each other. We're free to have no worry about our position in this life, whether we're humble or whether we're exalted. Our status is as exalted people of God. It's hidden. It's hidden in Christ's humility, which we share. But he says to each of you, friend, move up higher. Thanks be to God that he humbles us in order to exalt us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.